Hello, this is Paul Solentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast. Wichita State basketball coach Keitha Adams joins us to talk about the Shockers after summer workouts. Their roster has arrived, getting ready for fall classes. Keitha is in her fifth season at Wichita State. Before we get started on the Shockers, we have to talk about Don Haskins, because Keitha spent 16 seasons at Texas El Paso before returning to Kansas, and I love her Don Haskins story. Don Haskins, of course, coached UTEP for 38 seasons. He won the 1966 NCAA title, well known for the book and the movie Glory Road. So, Keitha, give us your best Don Haskins anecdote.
Okay. So, boy, that was a hard one. I think one of the fun times I had was being at Coach Haskins' house, and he and I at the kitchen table, and literally drawing up X's and O's and diagramming defensive stuff while Mary, his wife, was making bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches. So that was a fond memory. But one time, our team was a top 25 team. We were in February, and he and I did a radio show together. And he said to me, he never told me what to do, but he always said little things that would get me thinking. And he said, make sure those guys aren't getting too happy. And I went home that night going, oh gosh, you know, we were on a run. We ended up going 16-0 in the conference. But he was like, make sure they don't get too happy. And I think he knew that in February and down the stretch late, all those games were going to be really important and to keep our team grounded. So his nickname was the Bear. And I went around for about 2 weeks being an old bear and being grumpy because I didn't want our team to get too happy and to keep us grounded where we didn't have any bad losses or any hiccups. And we went 16-0 in the conference and went into the tournament and had a great season. But, you know, he would always say, you got to know when to be hard on your team, tough on your team, and then know when to not be. And he just always gave good advice that never told me what to do, but always made me think.
Is there a particular part of your coaching strategy, philosophy, that you can look back at and say he was an influence on something?
Definitely, defensive-wise. I mean, we have drills that we do that I got from Coach. He was his teams were great defensively. And it all started with being great in transition. I mean, teams did not get layups against his teams. His transition defense was always point on. It was one of the things he shared, you know, you need to know, your players need to know, you're either a rebounder or you're a safety. I mean, it's one of the two. Standing out there and not rebound or not getting back, that's a spectator. You don't want that. So one of the things that we do from the get-go, we clarify with our players who's the rebounders, who's the safeties, and we practice that to where it's very clear when that shot goes up, who's crashing and who's getting back. And, you know, then a kid can't say, well, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. No. And they'll even say in practice, what are you? I'm a rebounder. I'm a safety. And so when the shot goes up, they need to do their job. And when you do that, you should never give up a layup, because the players know who's getting back and who's going to rebound.
And he would have been from the Henry Iba Oklahoma State School of Defense. Am I remembering that correctly?
That's correct. That's correct. Yeah, he played at Oklahoma State. And, you know, if you're reading the book, Glory Road's a great read. I mean, it took me 24 hours and I couldn't put it down. And, you know, he talked about those. Henry Iba's defense was tough, and he was a tough coach. And talked about working out so many hours and so much that most of the ball of his foot was almost unattached because they ran so much and worked so hard. But, you know, Coach gave me a lot of great defensive stuff that we use. And I make reference to it, you know, with our players. Just it's part of our system, no question.
Definitely. I always like to bring up there's a lot of Kansas and Wichita connections to that 1966 team. For UTEP, then Texas Western, they played their first NCAA game here in what was then, I think, WU Fieldhouse or Levitt Arena. They also played here in 64, and the Shockers and the Miners played pretty regularly during that time, that mid-60s time. And, of course, during that 1966 run, they had the famous game against Kansas where they beat them in double overtime, and the controversial photo
stepping
of JoJo
of
White.
Bounds.
Did he step out of bounds or did he not step out of bounds?
Yes.
So There's the Don Haskins and the Miners that season really ran through Kansas.
Yes.
All right, let's talk about the Shockers. Shooting offense was a big emphasis this summer. Mm-hmm. Tell us some of the approaches that you used working on the offensive skills.
Yeah, we've worked on getting a lot of shots up in our spring workouts, our summer workouts. I think the thing that we did drills with our players that really challenged them for consistency. One of the things that I talked a lot about, and we did a lot of drills of makes in a row. You know, for example, you're shooting a shot in the short corner, and you've got to make so many in a row to be able to move to that next spot, and you've got so much time, and you want to get to a number of spots, but you know you can't move to the next spot until you've made so many shots in a row. And so shots in a row is something we did. We did a Kobe drill that Kobe did that. It's a drill that it's only 18 seconds, and you have four spots that you shoot from. And if you hit all four spots and you sprint, you'll be able to do those four shots within that 18 seconds. But if you miss a shot, you've got to sprint to a certain spot and come back and shoot that same shot again until you make it to be able to move on. And so it really, it's a pressure deal where you're going to only get that done if you make all four shots. So I think, we did things that, was goal-orientated, consistency orientated, and conditioning and some pressure there to where, it wasn't just about shooting, but it was shooting with a purpose and having to do certain things to advance to the next spot.
When I talked to you earlier this summer, you mentioned you had downloaded 802 pages of plays run by the 64 NCAA tournament teams. I didn't know such a thing existed. Thought that was interesting. What'd you learn from the summer research?
Yeah, I think one of the things in coaching, it's like, we all have certain things that we believe in, and there's things that we have tendencies, things that we do that we know has worked for us, and so you have your system and what you believe in. But I also know that it's really important that you don't get predictable, and sometimes if you don't, you got to be constantly wanting to grow and change and learn. And so obviously I was intrigued about looking at the different plays, and there's different formations that we set up in. You can set up in an alignment and run certain things out of the way you start your plays. And so what I did was I just went through, and I'm at like 700, and I got to 745 pages in looking at them. I was looking at plays that are plays that start from formations that we do in our system, and looking at different things though that you can run from those things to where, we're going to have some new wrinkles. We're going to do some things this year that's not in any of the coaches' scouting reports. And I think that it's really important that you don't get predictable and that you're doing things to, help your team and get advantages. And so that's why I did that. I'm excited about it. I think, we got a lot to learn about our players, but I've got a clear picture in my mind of what we're going to want to do this year. But it is going to take time for me to get a feel for our new players. And there's sometimes something you might think would work with a group that you get to practice it and you'll find that, nope, that's not the one. And so you have to work through it.
Is there a interesting trend or something new that you notice that coaches are really buying into or executing that maybe they didn't 5 years ago?
I think the dribble drive offense is something that, in the last 10 years, 12 years, dribble drive has been something that I think a lot of teams are doing. I think that for our team, with our players that we've got coming in and then our kids have worked hard in the off season, I'd like to think that no matter what offense we run, that we're going to make the defense stretch out more with our ability to shoot from the perimeter and improving in that from our team in the past. So, your offense just gets a whole lot better when you stretch the floor and you make people make long closeouts. So I think that no matter what offense we run, knowing that we've done what we've done the off season and who we've got coming in, our offense, I think, will be improved because of that.
You mentioned the newcomers. You've got six newcomers, five of them freshmen. Take us through that group. Tell us a little bit about them.
Yeah, well, we start off with Ella Ancio right here from Wichita, which she's 6'4", really has good hands, can catch it around the rim, has a nice touch, can shoot the basketball, great student athlete, good person, has good work ethic, just marks a lot of the intangibles and the boxes that's important in developing a team. So we're excited to have her. We've got Nook Bosch Duran from Spain, which is a point guard, two guard. She is grease lightning. She's fast, quick on quick, can shoot the three, gets the ball up the floor, good basketball IQ, and probably the number one thing that I really like about her, she's extremely competitive. She's going to bring a lot of energy to our team. Melissa Cecerali from France. That name is a little Italian there, her last name. Melissa's a combo guard that can shoot it, real athletic, has good basketball IQ. She's going to fit and do a lot of things for us, I think, both on offensive and defensive end of the floor. Jane Asinde, she's from Uganda. She's 6'2", athletic forward that can really run the floor, rebounds it, can score inside, gives us that length. I think she's somebody that we're going to be able to put on the top of our presses, the top of our half-court traps. It's going to give you that long arm, athletic. She's going to get some deflections for you. So really excited about her. Jay-Z Wahi from New Zealand. Jay-Z, actually, I had a player that played for me at UTEP when I first started at UTEP that was from New Zealand. And Noni Farmate, and she actually has told us about Jay-Z. And they live about 15 minutes from each other. So Jay-Z came to us through a former player that played for me for 2 years, but has the ability to put up some big numbers, can score, toughness, competitive, just a kid that's a winner. So we're fired up about her. And then Tatiana Platinova, who's from Russia, and she's a guard that, watched a lot of film on her. She gets the ball up the floor quick. I think our transition game is going to be improved. Tatiana, she'll get a couple of threes every game. She's a kid that consistently passes it well, shoots it well. Very serious about basketball. I mean, it took her 2 days to get here from Russia, and she got here yesterday and was like, I need to get in the gym. She had been 3 days since she'd been in the gym, and she's like, that's too long. So I think we've really brought some players in that are really serious about love basketball and want to be in the gym, which you just love that for your culture of your team.
Do different countries produce or have reputations for producing different kind of skilled players? Like, do you go to Portugal for shooters and France for defense? I don't know if it works that way or not, but
yeah,
I'm kind of curious.
Great question. I think, if you look at the FIBA system, for example, I have a book right here on the 18 and unders that played. They rank their teams. Right now, Spain's the number two team in Europe. So there's certain countries and programs that have really good programs and good teams. Traditionally, your France, Spain, Russia, those teams have been really, really talented. In coaching players, for example, Australia and New Zealand, I've had some kids from Australia and New Zealand, and very fundamentally sound, very tough-nosed, very skilled. So I think there is some places that have that reputation. France, you've got some great athletes in France. France's teams are always fun to watch. They play a pick and roll action. They pass the ball well. I've always enjoyed watching France's national teams. They play good basketball.
You mentioned Jane Asinde. She was a junior college All-American mm-hmm. at Grayson. How does she fit in with the returners on the front line?
Oh, I think I'm excited. I mean, you know, we're going to play her and Asia Strong together. You know, I think that that's a 1-2 punch in terms of, you know, rebounding ability, athleticism, defending, scoring. That's a nice combination.
You've got six of your top seven scorers are back. I think we would start with Seraphine Bastien and Carla Brimo. I can't say it like Ted Woodward does, but I try.
You did good.
They've started basically or played in every game since they've been here. Mm-hmm. How does their leadership, their experience, how does that get you started?
Yeah, you know, I think it's always great when you get started with your new season, and when you have returners like Carla and Fifi that have been a part of your program, you're going to be able to get in things, and they're going to jump out there first, and they're going to be able to show your new players, you know, how we do things here. So I've had it before, you know, my second year here at Wichita State, we were the fifth youngest team and we had in the country, and we had all new players, so nobody knew anything. And boy, that's a lot of teaching. It's a lot of work. So having returners that know your system, it just helps you because you could put them out first. Your new kids are going to be able to see that. You'll explain it, but they'll see it, and then they'll jump in. And it makes it go a lot faster than when you have a whole group that you got to teach everything.
You had two returners I wanted to ask about that really finished the season strong. DJ McCarty had 8 or more points in 5 of her final 6 games. She had 17 against Tulane. She had a well-rounded game against Houston, 12 points, 9 rebounds. She had 20 points versus Tulsa. What clicked for DJ toward the end of the season?
You know, I think DJ's focus that last month improved. You know, she's got to find a way to challenge herself daily. But, you know, when she's focused and motivated, you know, she elevated her game, and that's what happened in the last month. I think she, you know, we challenged her, and I just think her focus and her determination was much stronger, and her practices got better. And, you know, her freshman year, she played for us and showed that she's definitely got talent, had some injuries, so it was up and down. And last season, everything about our season was up and down. Nobody had, I mean, that's just what the year was. But, you know, I think that consistency factor is where all of our returners, you know, bringing it every day is going to be key for them to do that.
And then Georgiana Colbert will be part of that front line that we talked about. She finished strong. She had double figures in her final 3 games, 7 or more rebounds in her final 4. What clicked for Georgiana late in the season?
You know, I think Georgiana was our most improved player on the year, we felt like. And, you know, she is very strong. Like, she's her physical fitness and her strength in the weight room. You know, I just think that Trajada's confidence, her strength, mentally, I think, too, she has grown so much from her freshman year to where she's at right now on and off the court. She's just, a very confident young lady and has gotten better in her confidence on and off the court. And we needed her last year, you know, and she I kind of feel like she's kind of our anchor. You know, her shoulders are broad and she's strong, and she just gives you that strength on and off the court.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long 3 by Pangos, no good. 1 second, it's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number 1 team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you.